About today, as I kind of alluded to, is the church. Last week we talked about your identity. In this second week of our series, we're talking about your church and what that means. And I love the church, and you're going to hear about that. This is easy thing for me to talk about. I live, eat, breathe, sleep the church. I've grown up in the church. I've had great experiences in the church. I'm not saying I haven't had any bad experiences in the church. We've all had, though you've been around the church long enough, you realize the church is made up of people, which people are sinners, which means sinners blow it. I blow it, you blow it. And so I'm not saying the church is perfect, but I am saying I have a love for the church. And we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to see what Scripture says about it. But I know we have different people that may not feel the same about church today. When I say that word, you may feel differently, and that's okay. A few years back when my girls, oh man, time goes by, when they were probably about 7 and 5 or 6 and 4, we were at our church in Patterson, California. It was a Bay Area community about an hour and a half from San Francisco. A lot of people commuted there to go to work. It was cheaper to live in Patterson. And we were invited by one of several of our families in our church to go camping at Bodega Bay, just a little bit north of San Francisco, and we were going to go crabbing. It was the most crab I've ever eaten in my life because there was no lack of what we caught that weekend. But our girls, we were camping, we were having a great time with these other families. But we started Thursday night, we got to Saturday night, and I was like, we got to go. We were a small church. I had a worship/youth pastor. He had never preached, didn't want to preach. And I'm surrounded with great people here, so when I go, it's no big deal. But there is like, I got to get back, and so I was like, girls, we got to go, and they did not want to go. You've been there. Some of you have little ones. You know what it is when they're having fun and they don't want to go. The moment you put them in the car, they're out. But they throw the fit. They don't want to go. And I was like, we have to go. I think it was Reagan, my probably 6, 7, 8-year-old at the time, was like, we don't want to go. We don't want to go. Why do we have to go? I said, because we got to go to church tomorrow. And they're like, none of these guys are going to church. They're staying. And I was like, yeah, but they don't have to preach. And she said, we always go to church. When we visit Grandma and Papa, we go to church. When we go to Nanny and Papa's, we go to church. I'm tired of church. Sometimes you may feel that way. You may feel like you're tired of church. I'm asking the question, why do you go to church? Why do you go to church? Why, if you go to Dylan's after church today and you're grocery shopping and someone sees you and they sit there and they go, hey, what'd you do today? And you're like, I went to church this morning. And they're like, why? Where? Where'd you go to church? Why do you go to church? How would you answer that? How would you answer it if they asked, once you told them Inspire Church, what would you say? Why do you go? What is it that draws you there? I love the church. I told you the church is not perfect. The church can let us down because it's made of people. But I owe everything I have to the church. The church introduced me to a relationship with Jesus Christ. The church helped raise me. I had other parents. I had other parents that in my day weren't afraid to spank or do something that only your parents did. I mean, I was raised in the church. I've got my values from the church. I grew up in the church. I found my wife through the church, helped raise our girls through the church. It's provided my best friendships and relationships. I love the church. It's helped me grow closer to Jesus. I love the church. What is the church? What is the church? Well, the church is not these four walls. It's not this hour on Sunday morning or the time like on Wednesday night that maybe the youth meet. The church is people. We don't need walls to have a church. People are what make the church. And I remember my first church that I pastored in Rockland, California, a suburb of Sacramento. We were pastoring there. I was new. The church was fairly new. I was learning through the School of Hard Knocks. And it was the first time in my life that I became disillusioned and discouraged by the church. Because up until that point, I had just been a part of the church, enjoyed the church. I grew up in the church, had friends in the church, and now I was leading a church. And there's something different about leading the church. And not everyone thought I was great and everything that I acted upon was good. And so I, for the first time, I became a little bit disillusioned, a little bit discouraged. And a pastor in that community in Sacramento, Bayside Church, began to mentor me and began to share and speak life into Heather and I. And we went out to lunch shortly, and we'd only been there 3 or 4 months, and we went to lunch with he and his wife, Carol, and we were sitting across from them, and we were talking church, and he said, "Kent, if you weren't the pastor of your church, would you go there?" I'm an eternal optimist. I'm a half cup full kind of guy. And I began to give a positive answer. But before I could even get one word out of my mouth, Heather said, "No." Okay, that just kind of answered it for us. And so, but that's what he was looking for. He was looking for some honesty. And for the next 2 years, while we continued to pastor that church, many times we would take our little girls and we would go to this large church across town on Saturday nights to kind of feed our souls and to be nourished. And our girls loved going because they had soda pop and popcorn in the service, and it was a Saturday night. They did things a little bit differently. And they had a hardwood floor, so they weren't as concerned about it probably. But they loved going there. We loved going there. And I began to study and be a student of the church. And I began to ask, what, as I continue to pastor, and I'm in it for the long haul, what do we want? What should church look like? I had a very small view of what church. I grew up, my dad was a pastor all my life of churches between 50 and 250 at the largest. And I knew this little Nazarene bubble, which is our denomination, and I didn't know much else. And all of a sudden, my eyes over the next few years became enlarged. I began to get a greater vision. I began to get a dream for the future and my ministry of what the church could look like and what it could be. And I wasn't trying to be a mega church. I wasn't trying to be Ray, but I wanted the church to be something that inspired people to follow Jesus. I wanted people to love the church like I've loved the church. And I wanted people to have that experience. And I'm so thankful for the church, not just this church. I'm thankful for the Big C Church. I'm thankful for the Church of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm thankful today for a church in Tampa and Clearwater, Florida, that our girls have become really involved in, and it's called Radiant Church. And a week ago Saturday, this was not their church. It was on a Saturday. It was just all their volunteers for a volunteer conference because they have 13 campuses. And so this is their view overlooking that service that day. And my heart is filled with gratitude because the church is still making a difference in my family's life, even though I'm a long, long ways away. I am thankful for the church and the impact that it's had on Reagan and Riley, and it goes beyond that. Now, this is them at Radiant Church, but then there's this other guy that's been in the picture for the last year and a half. His name is Connor. I haven't really talked about him much, introduced you to him much, but he's kind of starting to stick a little bit, and so he's my youngest daughter's boyfriend. He just moved to Florida, so we're starting it, but I haven't told you about him because I don't know where we are. I feel like Terry Bradshaw.
You got any sons?
No, but no. No, no, I got two son-in-laws, one little bitty dude and another one big old tall skinny dude, and I got another one trying to be a son-in-law. He ain't in the circle yet, you know what I'm saying?
He might not make it.
No, I told him today, you don't even have a foot on the line yet, boy.
Is he here?
Yeah, he's right over there. There he is, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who's he dating?
He's dating
me. This
one.
Me.
Oh, how long y'all been dating?
We've been dating like 3 months.
Yeah, he ain't in the circle. I don't know anything about him, to be honest with you.
You don't know nothing about him. Why is he here?
She wanted to bring him. Okay. I made him fly coach, though. He ain't in the circle, man. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man.
This is my favorite daddy, man.
I'm just kidding, and if Connor, you're watching later today, you're kind of in the circle. You're starting to make it. You're starting to get there, and I'll just say this. If he ends up being a permanent member of the circle, I'm so thankful for the church. I'm so thankful to the church that is speaking into this young man's life and into my daughter's life. And I want the church to be that for you and your kids and your grandkids and your family's kids. I want the church, I'm so grateful for the church. And I want it to be a church that inspiring. I want your church to be a church that when you go to Dillon's, when you go to school, when you go to your workplace, you're going, you should try our church. You should come to our church. Inspire Church. I desire for our church, and I know you do too, for your church, and I believe this church is more and more. I know it inspires me, but you guys are an inspiration. Some of your lives, and it's not because everything's going well. I don't have time to talk about it this morning. I know several of you in this room this morning, life is not going good, but you're an inspiration because you're keeping your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You're showing me what it's like to be a Christian when the chips are down. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for this church. And our goal is that you would be inspired and your church would be inspired. In fact, our mission is to inspire people to take the next step on the journey with Jesus. Who better to give us that example than the early church of 2,000 years ago that we find in the book of Acts? 28 chapters, but we're just reading about 5 short verses this morning of that early, inspiring, radiant church. Verse 42, chapter 2. They, the church, they at that time was about 3,000 people. Pentecost had just happened. 3,000 people got saved, got baptized, and the Lord was adding to their number daily. So maybe it's between 3 and 5,000. But the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone, not just the church, but it really seems as we read the next verse that everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. They were meeting needs. They were inspiring people through their love and through their actions every day. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. This wasn't a one-hour Sunday morning church. This wasn't just a couple hours. And by the way, when we exit this building, the church is still in existence. It's just the church has left the building and we're going out into our community. You are the church, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. People were inspired by the early church. They were in awe of the early church. I think God wants the church to be inspired. Not that they'll agree with everything, but they'll be inspired by our love. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved.
Have you ever worked
it was, that's too quick. This was an inspiring church. It was a good church. And if you know that commercial, you know where I'm getting ready to go. It wasn't just an okay church. My last church was an okay church. And I don't say that in a mean way. I just say it, that was the name, Olive Knowles. And so the short letter was OK. Their logo is OK. So I'm not saying it's a bad church. I'm just saying our logo was, it's an OK church. But we want more than to be an OK church. That made
me
think
of
this.
Have you ever worked for Dr. Francis? Oh, yeah. He's OK.
Just OK?
Guess who just got reinstated?
Well, not officially. Nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
I'll see you in there.
Just okay is not okay. 18.
I hope no one's having surgery this week. If it is, it's going to be okay. I believe that. The church, we want it to be more than okay. We want it to be something that inspires others. Think about how Jesus described the church to us. He described the church as the bride of Christ. When you think of a bride, what do you think of? You think of beauty. You think of at their best, and you think of a beautiful bride. That's the way Christ views the church. It's his bride. It's his love. It's his beauty. The church is something that is meant to be beautiful and attractive. I want to talk today about this good church that we find in the book of Acts and how we can model their model and how we're trying to model their model. 3 things that this early church did. The first thing is this good church in Acts, they did good deeds. They sold their property and possessions. They gave to anyone who was in need. They were there meeting needs. Good churches meet needs. We can't meet all needs, but good churches, they endeavor to meet people's needs. That led to goodwill, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Good deeds lead to goodwill, which leads to where we want to get, and that's to the good news. We believe that we have good news to share each and every Sunday, that Christ died on a cross for our sins, that he was buried 3 days, rose on the third day, defeating our enemy of sin and death. We want people to hear the good news, but people don't care about the good news. You know the old saying, they don't care until they know how much you care. So this is the way the early church, they didn't just vomit out the good news. They were meeting needs that was creating goodwill that led to the good news. The way that we inspire, live that out is through our mission, through our vision, our values. I shared our mission, our vision. It's great that we could be together so we can kind of hit this again. Our vision is this, and you see it every day, every Sunday when you go out the doors. You see our four pillars: invite, engage, identify, and impact. I first of all, to invite is to invite into community is to experience community. It's to invite others in. It's to help them experience. That's why we say each and every Sunday at the end of our service, give us 3 Sundays, because we want people to experience community. We want them to experience God's people, and we want them to experience the culture so then they can engage with God, that they can have a real encounter with God, if you will. And I know some of you that are newer in recent days, you might be walking out of here saying, man, they're friendly. I mean, I've heard that so many times. Man, that's a friendly church. I've heard things like, man, I love the music. I've heard, like, the preaching's okay. And then I've heard that the just okay is not okay. And then I've heard, you know, our children are awesome. You know, our children, our youth, awesome ministries. We do that because we want people to have an encounter with God. We want them to have a real belief in God, and not just believe in God. Most people believe in God. You go out into your work week and your school, most people believe in God. We want more than believing in God. The demons believe in God. We want people to have an encounter with the living God, with Jesus Christ, that leads them to have a fresh new identity that we talked about last week, that identity that when we claim the identity we have in Christ, we really find what our God-given purpose is. And Pastor, we're going to talk about that next week, actually, a little bit more. And then finally, it leads us into a place where we go into our world and make an impact. We're not supposed to just keep the good news to ourselves, but we're supposed to make an impact in our world, and the cycle just continues. This leads to our values. If you looked at us as a car, we're a vehicle. Our church, Inspire, is a vehicle. You would see that our mission is our engine. It's what fuels us. Our vision is like the steering wheel. It's what guides us. It's what keeps us on the road. And this is like the four tires. Our values are like the four tires, because there's four of them that keep us. It's when the rubber meets the road. And so I want to talk quickly about our four values as a church, because they're important. The first one is we're a church that values reaching wide. We want to reach way beyond these walls. We want all sorts of people from all walks of life. We want to make an impact in our world. That's why sometimes you hear us around here say it's okay to belong before you believe. You don't have to claim our faith. You don't have to agree with us. You can bring your doubts. You can bring your disagreements. This is a safe place. It's okay to belong before you believe. Jesus hung out with people who didn't believe like he did yet, who didn't think like he did yet, but he was attracted to them. He was drawn to them. It was okay to belong before they believed, to bring their doubts and their sin. Just this last Friday night, Pastor Aaron finished on a real high note. We had a record of 7th and 8th graders at our Friday Frenzy, 111 7th and 8th graders. I showed up and I immediately began to pray. Yep, go ahead. I immediately began to pray, because we had a lawyer in the house, and Shannon Holmberg was like, she didn't want to see any accidents, and I was with her. So we were praying for no accidents. We got out unscathed. It was a great day. Actually, they had 132 one time, but that was 3 grades. This was just 2 grades. And there was a young man that came for the first time, I think an 8th grader, and he came up to Pastor Nate at the beginning, and he said, "This is my first time in church. I haven't been in a church before." And he's like, "That's great. So glad you're here." He says, "I don't know if you're going to be glad. I'm actually an atheist." And he said, "Even better. Really glad you're here." And I think this kid was taken back, and he says, because if you're an atheist, that means that you are questioning things. You're having doubts about things, that you're asking yourself tough questions. And my encouragement to you is, don't stop asking the tough questions. Don't stop being curious. Don't stop being inquisitive, but continue to have a curious mind. I thought that was a genius answer to a young man. We want to be a church that reaches wide. We want to be a church that is for growing deep. We are a church growing deep in meaning that we hold to biblical truth. We believe this is the authority for every Christian. We don't like everything. If I'm honest, I don't like some of the things that are in here. I'm like, if I was God, I think I would do it a little bit differently. I'm not God. We are coming under the authority of Jesus Christ, and we are coming under the authority of His Word. So even if there's times that we're going, man, I don't necessarily like this, but if we're signing up to follow Jesus, we're signing up to come under the authority of His Word. And we want to be a church that is growing deep and closer to Jesus, being more obedient in our following of Him. We want to be a church of the next generation. I'm getting thumb happy here. We want to be a church that we're for the next generation. You already saw a little bit, so I'm going to share. We are a church that invests. You are a church that invests in the next generation. We don't believe that the church that's these young people today are the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. We wouldn't have a children's ministry, honestly, if we didn't have our high schoolers. We are the church. They're the church of today. They are leading. They are taking leadership roles and positions, and more so are going to do that. A week ago Wednesday, I just got to walk around to all our different ministries, and I found it crazy that our children's ministry and our high school ministries opened with the same song. They didn't talk it, they didn't plan it, but this is what I got to see. And we don't just have our high school and middle and our children, but we have a new thing called Area 56. And I got a chance to go in there. I didn't get a live shot, but I got a scene there when they were playing a game. We got this picture, and I want you to take notice of Gary Getting and his ups. I wish it was a live shot, because to me it looks like he's jumping off the ground, but I don't see any air between his feet and the floor. But he's given his all and his effort. I mean, we got great volunteers that love our kids on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights as well, because we're a church for the next generation. And finally, we are a church that wants to unleash compassion, because Jesus was full of compassion. So when we do our serve days, that and we shut down the church for a day, that's because we want to be an example of what it is to serve. And so that we want that to inspire us into other areas of our life, not just that Sunday. We want to, when we have the opportunities at different times, like I love that this church, and some of you are new, need to know this. Our church is compassionate for kids in poverty around the world. We are currently, as a church, sponsoring 125 kids in Riobamba, Ecuador. 125 kids that would be impoverished, but because of your $42 a month gift to Compassion International, a partnership of the Big C Church, because you're giving $42 a month, I figured that out, $63,000 a year this church is giving to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. Not just poverty, physical poverty, but educational poverty and spiritual poverty. They are getting new life, and their families are getting new life because of your generosity. And then from time to time, there's just needs that arise. I remember 5 or 6 years ago when we had one of those fires, and there was a family in our community that lost their home to the fire, and they had no insurance. In one day, you guys gave $25,000 to help that family. And I can tell you, that family's recovered today. The community came together. There was help that came elsewhere. But you were the first to give $25,000 in one moment. And then you see this picture up here, and I'm so proud of Mr. Hahn. Now, this is Cold Hahn. 4 years ago, it was a hard time. Colt's grandparents raised him. He was raised by his grandpa and his grandma. I did his grandmother's funeral just a few years after being here. But 4 years ago, right before college was getting ready to start, he had graduated from Bueller. His grandpa suddenly died, and he's living in a home all by himself in Bueller, Kansas. And in one day, I shared that with you guys because he had so much to get into K-State, but he was short $10,000, had no idea how he was going to come with that. In one day, you guys compassionately gave $10,000 to Colt. And can I tell you that 4 years later, to get him through his first year of college, can I tell you 4 years later, this is our new ag teacher out at Bueller High School. He's right here. He's right there. I love being a part of this church. You see why I'm excited? I think you guys are living up to your name to inspire people to follow Jesus and take their next step in their journey with him. So I just got a couple more things about your church, and we're almost done. We're going to have a time where we're going to pray over Aaron and Brandon and their families and have a couple of celebration baptisms. But I wanted to just give you a little update on your church. God is doing some great things in your church right now. Inspire Church. Pastor Nate's let me know that the last couple weeks, we've had more than 100 adults, about 100 or so adults more than we had last year at this same time. Last year, we had our largest in-house service other than Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, or special days that we've had. Just a regular end of the summer, start of the school year day in which just people, our first service is growing, our second service is gaining in strength that was already strong. God is doing some great things. He's bringing some great people in, and we began to feel a need about 6-7 months ago in our team and staff. We began to say, God's given us responsibility for people, and he expects us to be good stewards with people. And so one of the values that we have is for people to be invited and to experience community, because it's great that we're in rows on Sundays, but we're meant to be in circles in the week. We grow best when we're in circles. And so I'm going to focus on two things. One is our vision. One is our value. One is that we are meant to all be a part of community, experience community. And the other part is we're called to not just go to church, but to grow deep, to grow deeper in our faith. And so starting September 14th, and you're hearing us talk about it last week, and you'll hear about it the next 2 weeks, we are entering into a season of a small group experience for 10 weeks called Rooted. We want everyone to buy one of these books. We want our teens to buy these books. If you're a married couple, we want you each to buy a book, because there's devotionals in there. There's notes that you take in your... It's Monday through Friday. There's a daily devotional. And then there's 7 rhythms of effective Christians, 7 rhythms of followers of Jesus. And we're going to go over that in this small group setting. Now, the messages are not going to be rooted, because we have new people come and we want to be friendly. And it's very unfriendly to be insider language and not let the... So we are going to be preaching something that's going to complement where we are. We're going to go through farther into the book of Acts for those 10 weeks. We're going to spend on the early church. But the small group experience, the design of this and the desire is that each of us will grow in our faith. We'll grow rooted in our faith. We'll grow rooted in our community, in our church, and we'll go rooted deeper in our walk with Jesus. And I know sometimes when I do this, there's people that think, he's not talking to me. He's probably not talking to me. I'm talking to you. If you just said, he's not talking to me, I'm talking to you. I was thinking about my oldest daughter and her experience a few years ago before Pastor Aaron and Pastor Brandon came along. We had Pastor Josh and Stacy was Reagan's youth pastor. And there was just a season in high school where there was a few weeks that she didn't want to go to Wednesday night, didn't want to go to church for whatever reason. And I grew up never able to miss church. I mean, we went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I missed 3 Broncos Super Bowls because I had to be in church. I couldn't watch it. I had to listen with a radio in the back, and it was very disappointing all 3 years. Probably a good thing I was in church. But I didn't want my daughters to feel like they were in a fishbowl and people were watching their lives, and they had to meet the pastor's expectations and the pastor's kids' expectations. So we went kind of soft, and she went through a couple weeks of going, I don't want to go to church. And we were like, okay, we have homework, made excuses. And so about the 3rd week, she was like, I think I'm not going again tonight. And said, Reagan, your mother and I have talked, you're going tonight. And she's like, but I got homework, I don't really want to go. And I said, sorry, you're going to go tonight. She goes, why do I need to go? I said, because church isn't about you. It's not just about you. The church is people that are together, and we're meant to come together, and you make a difference. She goes, how am I making a difference? Like I said, I can tell you Pastor Josh and Stacy, it's discouraging when you don't show up, when you're not there. When you're not a part of the group, it's discouraging to them. And I can guarantee you there's friends of yours that are, I'm sure, disappointed that you're not there. So church isn't just about you. It's about the people around you. So from that time on, I think the pastor, she loved Pastor Josh and Stacy. I think that spoke to her. And she never really missed again because she got involved and continued to go. I'm not saying she never missed again. That would be crazy. But we didn't have that conversation again. My point to you is this. You need the church, and the church needs you. It goes both ways. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to even question and find out what it is to follow Jesus, you need the church to grow, to get rooted in your faith, to get rooted in your relationship with God, to get rooted in the church and get rooted in God's given purpose for your life. You need the church, but not only that, the church needs you. You're needed. You're missed. I can tell you when Heather and I go on walks each week after our services, we're like, we talk about you. We're like, hey, wasn't it good to see such and such back? Wasn't it good to see them? Hey, it's been a while. Wasn't that good? Or wasn't it, hey, that person, you meet that person for the first time? We get excited. You matter. New, old, in the middle, you matter. You're needed. The church needs you, and you need the church. And so I came across this last week. And it reminded me of my daughters. They didn't write this, but it was an Instagram post, and it was a girl in Florida. I don't know who she is. She said, this Florida girl has always loved palm trees. Like I just see one and I exhale a little deeper. Anyone else? But recently I learned something about palm trees that made me stop and whisper, God, you really do think of everything. We all know that palm trees don't snap in hurricanes. They bend, they lean low, sometimes nearly horizontal, but they rise again when the storm passes. But here's what undid me. It's not just their flexibility, it's their roots. Palm trees intertwine with the roots with others nearby, quietly, underground, creating a bond that makes them nearly unshakable. In other words, their strength is multiplied in community. And I thought, isn't that how we're supposed to live? Not self-sufficient, not performing our way through the storm, but rooted, supported, held up by one another when our own strength fails. And it reminded me of the promise found in Psalm 92:12, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. We flourish not because we are unshakable, but because we are rooted in something and someone deeper. Friends, let's keep showing up for each other and being the roots that someone else holds onto. Friends, we want to see you go deeper in your faith, deeper in the church, and deeper in your God-given purpose that He's called each of us to be. And the tool that we're using, that we're inviting you to, Pastor Nate's inviting us into, is 10 weeks starting September 14th into this community series of Rooted. Get rooted in our faith, rooted in the church, and rooted in our purpose. Let me tell you a couple things. One, just practical things. If you got notes, sorry, we ran out of notes today. But for those of you that got them, on the back side, if you'll look at that, there is three QR codes. The bottom one just tells you more about Rooted. You want some more information, it tells you about it. The middle one tells you about if you'd want to be a facilitator, because we're going to need more facilitators. And that doesn't mean you have to know everything. It just means you'll facilitate the questions that are in the book. And the third thing is on the top, if you just want to be a part of the group. You haven't been a part of a group before, and you don't know how to get into a group, please just trust Pastor Nate in the process. He's going to work really hard to get you into the right place, the right setting, the right fit. But the bottom line is, it's 10 weeks. You're not signing up for the rest of your life. We're just saying, let's all do this together for 10 weeks. And so I encourage you to look at that QR code. I encourage you to get involved in that. I miss my palm trees thing. So this is about being rooted together, this 10 weeks, seven rhythms, daily devotionals. I just think, can you imagine all of us, Monday through Friday, reading the same devotions, reading the same word of encouragement from the scripture, I think that's going to foster some good conversations. Can you imagine all of our groups for 10 weeks spending time kind of studying the same seven rhythms that we're all looking at together? I think it's an awesome time, a great opportunity. So today you can click on that, text the word Hutch to 94,000 and get there, or you can scan that QR code and you can sign up with your name and your number.